The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter. Then as Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the man heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Then they were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to Jesus, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age. Houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you.
Please be seated. Amen. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every day, I am struck by the awesome responsibility that God puts in the hands of parents. God blesses parents with children. Children that need to be cared for. Children that are shaped by the things they are taught by their parents, by the experiences that they learn from by their parents. As a parent, I take this responsibility seriously. And like all parents, I imagine, I want to teach my children things about life, how things work, things about safety, things about responsibility, things about being a citizen of this country, things about manners. And lately as a parent, I find myself with my eldest daughter quite a bit uttering the phrase, "What do you say now, Carmela?" This phrase always follows the nice gesture of someone else. Maybe they'll give Carmela a compliment. Maybe they'll give her a treat. Maybe they'll give her a present. And as a parent, trying to teach my daughter good manners, I will prompt her, "What do you say now, Carmela?" And a thank you will follow. And as I stand in line at stores, as I see other parents and their children interacting, I know I'm not unique. For this is one of the lessons that parents teach children. And that is gratitude. That is politeness. That is saying thank you when you have received a gift, a compliment, or a gesture from someone else. We are taught to say thank you. Today we come to Thanksgiving. And what does thank you mean? Truth be told, I think thank you has more to do with politeness than it has with a way of being. We say thank you when someone holds the door for us for an extra moment. We say thank you when a neighbor might lend us his hammer. We say thank you when someone might compliment a new haircut. But then we move on with life, not giving it much thought. as we come together on this Sunday, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, I am here to advocate not for thank yous, but for thanks living. How do we live? Not just polite words, but how do we live? How do we operate in the world? How do we see our neighbors, those in our community, and those in this global village that we call home? How do we interact with them? How do we engage in thanks living? Thanks living sees the world as being interconnected. Thanks living does not look at the world as I and them, but thanks living looks at the world as we and us, that we are dependent on one another, that we benefit from the actions, the toils, the work, and the giftedness of other people in our community and world, that we are not an island unto ourselves, that we are not independent from our neighbors, from those across the street, those in another town, province, or country, that we are interconnected. A case in point. This morning I got up, and I flipped on the light switch, and the lights came on. How did that happen? It meant that there was someone this morning, at a very early hour, who was at work in a generation plant. There is someone awake at this very early hour at work in a transmission station. There is someone awake at a very early hour monitoring a grid. And there is someone closer to here distributing that power. I moved into the kitchen. I turned on the faucet. And clean drinking water appeared. What does that mean? That there is a filtering facility, manned by capable individuals. That there is a pumping facility, manned by capable individuals. And they too rely on the same guys that are making power. It was -7 this morning, but my house is toasty warm. The furnace is humming. What does that mean? Somebody from Sask Energy is working on a pipeline. Somebody again is in a different distribution station. Somebody again is overseeing the schematics and seeing need versus use to make sure that there is enough natural gas coming to my one solitary house in North Battleford to keep my family warm. I am interconnected. If the power guy doesn't go to the job, my lights don't go on. If the water guy doesn't clean the filters, I get very sick. If the gas guys make a mistake, don't show up to work, or have a late night partying, my house will be cold. If the farmers say forget it, I won't eat. If the truckers all take a holiday, the grocery store shelves will be bare. We preach independence. We like the self-made man. We like that story, but none of us are truly independent. None of us are truly self-made. None of us are an island unto our own. We exist because of the efforts, the sacrifices, and the knowledge of many people throughout many different supply chains, distribution chains in our world. Ones in Saskatchewan, and as the global marketplace indicates, throughout the world. Take a look on your shoes, the shirt on your back, the parts in your car, your computer, your fridge, and they will be made in far away countries by people you do not know and will never meet. This is about thanks living. Thanks living realizes that the enjoyment that we have, the lives that we cherish, the things that we hold on to, are not here by any sort of happenstance, but they are here through the work of other people. Thanksgiving sees as oneself as part of this circle and says, now how do I take what others have worked for and now work to make a better world for other people? We are part of this interconnectedness. How do we take our blessings? How do we take the things that we enjoy and add our special uniqueness to it? Our special knowledge, our special skills, our special tools, whatever it may be, how do we take that? We take the power. We take the water. We take the food. We take the education. How do we take all these things, bundle them up in our own unique way as God's blessed each of us, and then go out into the world and share that with others so they can have a little part of that and create something special and share a little part of that, and etc., etc., etc. For if we are all islands unto ourselves, if thank you is just a matter of politeness, if we simply consume and simply hoard, then the world never gets better with us. It stops with us. We enjoy the labors of others. We enjoy the giftedness of others. We are glad that there is caring and loving nurses and doctors and teachers and police officers, that there is caring, compassionate, skillful civic officials, sports commentators, newspaper writers. It doesn't matter. But it stops with us. Because we take it in and we add nothing to it. We simply consume it. And that is a very real problem with our world. Right now, as we enter into winter, we hear about the influenza, the H1N1, the seasonal flu, the respiratory problems. But there's another problem. And that's the affluenza. The problem of affluence. We see in today's gospel reading, a man comes to Christ. What must I do to inherit eternal life? So Christ, you know, lists off the same old things. You know, the Ten Commandments. Do not murder, commit adultery, be honest in your business dealings, be honest in your public and private life, etc., etc. Man says, I've done all that. No problem, Jesus. I fulfilled the whole law. Christ says, okay. Go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. Come follow me. Man walks away, unwilling to do it. A few verses later, Christ says, how are the rich going to get in heaven, he says. It's going to be harder for a rich man to get into heaven, Jesus says, than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, does this mean that God hates rich people? Does this mean God wants you to be broke? No, I don't think so. The message in this is a message of the dangers of riches or affluence. You see, the danger in that, when your bank account is plump, the bills are paid, the cupboards are full, is that you start believing in the self-made theory. I did it. How come the rest of the world can't do it? I'm responsible. I'm a good member of society. I consume. I pay my bills. I work my way up. I put a roof over my head. I put food in my cupboard. Did you? Or did Nicaraguan farmers put food in your cupboard? Did you really put the clothes on your back? Or did young girls working in Taiwan really put the clothes on your back? Did you really put the car in your garage? Or did laborers in China really make those tires? But anyway, as the myth goes, I'm the self-made man. I pulled myself up by the bootstraps. I did it on my own. How come everyone else there can't do it as well? How come they can't put the hard work in? How come they can't make the good choices? And it puffs up the heart with pride. And you start thinking about salvation the same way as the man that comes to Christ. I can do it all on my own. I can follow God's law on my own. I can be a good person on my own. And pretty soon, you have no room for Jesus. Thanksgiving says we are dependent. I am dependent on you. You are dependent on other people. And all of us are dependent on God. None of us have self-made salvation. None of us are going to earn it. None of us are going to do everything perfectly. But that's the trap of affluenza, that we can do it on our own. Because somehow we built up a business, we can build up our spiritual lives. The two are not connected. The two are very different. But we want to connect them. For me, it's about thanks living. It's an attitude. It's a way to see the world. And as I come to this Thanksgiving Sunday, I want to say thank you to you. For I'm not here to beat you down, to make you feel guilty, to leave here with your shoulders held low. I want to say thank you. Thank you for your gifts of offering. Thank you for your gifts of time. Thank you for joining with me, with others, with those in the pew beside you, with those that aren't here today, in this thing we call the ministry of Christ. See, a lot of people, again, the gift of affluence, they'll buy a box of cookies from the Girl Scouts to come to the door. They may buy the $25 coupon book from the employee at work that keeps pestering them. They might buy a 24 carton of juiced drinks from their nephew at school, and they'll pat themselves on the back, like they've done their charitable deed. But at the end of the day, guess what they have? Cookies, coupons, and juice. And for those in Bible study, don't get me started on telemiracle. But here at the church, you join together, and I thank you for this. When the offering plate comes by, you give. When a need comes up in the bulletin for volunteers, you give again. And I thank you. Because what are you left with at the end? Not cookies, not coupons, and not juice. In fact, you will get very little tangible benefit for it. But you are engaging in thanks living. You are working to take your gifts, mash them up with others, and try and make the world a better place. You are creating through your offering a place where people in bondage to drugs and alcohol can meet throughout the week. You are creating a place where advocacy can happen for the poor, the outcast, the marginalized, and the downtrodden. You are creating a place that's a visible symbol of God's Word in the community. And what benefit do you get from it? Odds are, you will never meet the person that received deliverance from drugs through the ministry of here. Odds are, you will never meet the alcoholic that has gone on to a new way of being and a new way of understanding his or her life through the ministry that happens here. Odds are, you will never meet the resident of Battleford District Care, of South Hospital, of River Heights Lodge, who experience regular worship services and communion through the ministry that happens here. Our children and our youth, that we train through Sunday school, all through children's sermons, through confirmation, as we plant the seeds of God's Word, as we share with them the faith that's been passed on with us, odds are, you will never see those seeds mature as they become adults like you, as they work to raise their own kids in the faith that's been passed to them. But the world is becoming a better place through your ministry, through your giving, through your support. But this is part of thanks living. We don't know what part of the chain we're in. The person addicted to cocaine that can meet here on Saturday nights, that finds support in Narcotics Anonymous, that does a fourth or fifth step with me, that's able to kick off to change that drug habit, that moves back to their hometown or city 800 kilometers away, we'll never see the fruits of that labor. Maybe he will be reconciled with his wife. Maybe he will take up a new job. Maybe he will devote himself to drug and alcohol counseling and make other people's lives better. We don't know. But we can take knowledge in the fact that we are on the side of God. That we are working to enrich the world with our gifts. Not individually, but collectively. Through what we have. We are not an island unto ourselves. We are not a congregation unto ourselves. We are not individual Lutheran members unto ourselves. We are connected in the body of Christ. We are called to lives of thanks living. Lives of dependence. I am dependent on you. Maybe you're dependent in whatever way on me. Regardless, we are all dependent on Christ. May today, tomorrow, be a great day of thanksgiving. With family, with friends, with turkey. But may the day after, and may all the days that follow be great and joyous days of thanksgiving. Amen.